like to understand as such, because sometimes we may ask questions of marriage. The purpose is not for you and the earth life to engage now. It's just for us as members of parliament to understand what the issues are. Well, if you, I don't know if there's a presentation from the department that they would like to like, but really the issue today is not important, but the only one that will need assistance from you on a certain area. Without any much ado, honourable members, I didn't get the names of our, I don't have the names of our visitors in front of me here, but they will introduce themselves.
Spending is not deferred to future generations, and number three, consider the short, medium, and long-term implications of the consider the short, medium, and long-term implications of the fiscal framework, division of revenue, and national budget on the long-term growth potential of the economy and the development of the country. The fiscal and financial committees of Parliament have the duty to take into account the national interest and the needs and the interests of the national government determined by objective criteria when overseeing the budget process. It is submitted here by us that this responsibility arises especially when a large expenditure is contemplated and will be incurred over many decades, and when the nature of the procurement contracts inevitably results in the state not being able to withdraw from them without massive costs or if more cost-effective options become available. Therefore, the failure of Parliament to properly exercise its oversight powers at this early stage would not only be in conflict with its constitutional duties, but could also potentially constrain the state irrevocably. The implications are wide-ranging. Constraining resources which could be utilized by other sectors and inhibiting the fiscal freedom of future generations. The 2013 NTBS has confirmed the allocation of $1.6 billion to NEXA for the nuclear power program cluster over the next 2 years, along with an additional $14.2 million in the 2013-14 period to build a waste processing facility. NEXA's plans over the medium term, NEXA will focus on developing and demonstrating nuclear fuel cycle capabilities aligned with the IRP and the new nuclear build requirements, expanding research and development programs in its core activities and innovation, developing nuclear equipment, components, and fuel manufacturing capabilities, strengthening and consolidating its position in supply of medical radioisotopes, and developing a diversification strategy of culture. It also states that in response to the expected increase in nuclear electricity production resulting from the IRP, the corporation will work to retain and increase the nuclear skills capacity in the country. These activities were confirmed in the 2013 strategic plan of NEXA. The activities of NEXA are obviously preparatory to and integrally linked to the Department of Energy's plans to procure a fleet of new nuclear reactors to provide approximately 9,600 megawatts of electricity. We welcome the government's proposed significant investment in infrastructure, specifically the investments planned in the energy sector. However, the nuclear procurement program has to date not been based on complete costing, and the first policy framework for energy planning, the IRP 2010, is now out of date. Our concern as Urquhart at Joburg, basically, number one, the cost estimates in the nuclear build program by the Department of Energy are set out in the Integrated Resource Plan 2010 to 2030, but are inadequate as a basis for decision making and budgeting because such estimates are incomplete and outdated. In order to address these shortcomings, the DOE should be required to update the IRP using updated information. The second concern is the electricity demand estimates using the Integrated Resource Plan 2010 to 2030 are outdated and too high because of negative changes in the economic outlook. Overstatement of electricity demand together with the incorrect nuclear and renewable energy cost estimates is likely to mean that the current Integrated Resource Plan is not optimal and might result in non-optimal allocation of state resources. The risk is addressed by updating the IRP. Parliament is required to promote effective financial management by the executive. Given the absence of comprehensive information about the cost of the nuclear program, Parliament will be unable to discharge its constitutional obligation. And number four, regardless of current cost of nuclear energy, procurement of a fleet rather than a single... Yes, I do have slides. Okay, sure. Sorry, I left out number two on my slide, which was basically that the electricity demand is inadequate, so that's the one that's missing. But Number three is that regardless of the current cost of nuclear energy procurement of a fleet rather than a single nuclear reactor violates the requirements of cost-effective and effective management. Just to point out, the RFP 2010 did not undertake a modeling of the socio-economic impacts of procurement of the one or more nuclear reactors in order to indicate how energy from the nuclear power would impact. How energy from nuclear power would impact on the price and availability of electricity in the future, as well as its impact on employment and poverty alleviation. The assessment is reasonably required in terms of other policies of state, including the new growth plan.
Are you reading from your copy of the presentation? Where you are reading? Because we want to help you, to engage with you once you're done, but if I can just keep pace with the way you are reading, if you are reading from your presentation, your narrative one, tell us on which page you are so that we can be with you. Because what you are reading, what you are saying, and what is in the slide do not match.
Okay, generally slides are bullet points in the narrative is the additions to the slides, so that's basically the issue we're having right now. I'm not reading the slides per se, I'm reading the notes to the slides.
Okay.
But you can't first.
Oh, okay. Am I?
You want to supply a man.
Sure.
You can't calculate.
Yeah. Just refer then to the narrative, it will be helpful. But we would like, this is a very important presentation. We're taking it as such. Would like members to be impressed with it yourself,
I will just continue and maybe try to summarize the presentation that we have before you. From what he had stated, I think one is that we'd also like to point for three major concerns. And the three major concerns as they appear there on the slide is more around the insufficient and inaccurate estimates of the true cost of proposed nuclear power. And we feel that could bind the state and future generation to its detriment and would be costly to change. In a way that the kind of inaccurate cost could be binding future generation, current and future generation on debt. And that's three major concerns that we have. And also that at least the fleet of nuclear power stations or the proposed reactors would involve a level of investment unprecedented in South Africa. And as you know, that this would be the biggest ever kind of investment, and also we believe that this would may even lead crippling the South African economy. It's unprecedented, it has never been done, and it would have more detrimental impact on South Africa as it is. We basically have got some recommendations. And all the recommendations, I think, as the Honourable Chair had stated, would be that would we make the submission so that the committee can be able to make recommendations and take this point into consideration as what progresses around appropriation. One is that we recommend that this committee should recommend, we suggest that this committee should recommend to the national to the Department of Energy to complete accurate costs and analysis of proposed procurement, in particular on energy from nuclear power, because we feel that we need to take account of all relevant information. My colleague has indicated that the IRP, Integrated Resource Plan, is flawed, and so its projections are not a true reflection of the future demand side, and we strongly recommend that accurate costs should be given before any other sort of procurement could take place. I'm more worried about the budget that is allocated or the funds that are allocated to NECA or other entities before they are approved to feel that there's a need for a whole lot more of oversight and monitoring. The other recommendation, we recommend that this committee recommend that the Department of Energy act in a much more transparent manner to provide adequate information to public and parliament. And this has been some of the problems that we've had, I think, as citizens of this country. Moreover, we can say that as Life Africa Johannesburg, we actually even have gone to the extent of making higher applications so that we can be able to get information relating to the proposed nuclear fleet. And in some instances, we're not even getting a response, and we feel that this is important as citizens of this country, and also so that we can be able to inform, you know, decisions that have been taken. One that wouldn't want as citizens of this country to be in part of a process which is not transparent, which is not accountable, and that the decisions that we take, we don't want those decisions to enslave us and also enslave future generations. And we feel that it is only this committee that could actually exercise that oversight, that it actually can actually make sure that there's that transparency and accountability, and then that and after that, that we feel that because this committee is the one that informs Parliament, then Parliament can be able to exercise its constitutionally mandated roles over that. The recommendation number three. We recommend that the committee should recommend that any large-scale procurement be conditional upon greater parliamentary oversight. Parliament is elected by the people through elections that took place, that take place over and over again over a particular period, and this is where the hope of citizens of this country are, because we have given you that mandate to be able to govern the country, and we feel that oversight of any huge appropriation or budgeting should lie on the oversight. But then we're not saying oversight only, we're also saying that as public, we should also have access to information and also provide oversight over any form of infrastructure projects that are agreed upon or that are in place, in particular the one on UK, because we have major concerns around there. I think the colleagues from the Department of Energy are familiar with some of the concerns that we've raised in the past. One, we say on this recommendation, the approval of contracts should be made public, and stakeholder processes should be in place so that we agree, all of us, as to whether we're making the right decisions for the country. And we also feel that there's a need for stringent monitoring and key performance of those terms of contracts. There have been examples in other countries where the citizens have been involved in such procurement processes, ordinary citizens, civil society organizations. And I would think that we'd be doing the right thing and we'd be leading the adage that we are a constitutional democracy and everyone has got the fundamental right to decide or to participate in any decision-making process that are done in this country. One thing is on the nuclear issue, I think in regard to the recommendations that we have, the white paper also talks about what the white paper actually says support some of the stuff that we face, and at that particular time, the 1998 white paper on energy indicated says that nuclear energy is a minor component of the South African energy sector, contributing about 3% during 1997 of the national energy supply and 5% of the country's electricity. And we feel that it's not for us to be able to spend a lot of money on nuclear energy, and because we've got other alternatives that could also be put into the grid. And we also have to take into consideration what the Pebble Modular Reactor loss came about. I mean, 10 billion rands of taxpayers' money down the drain, and no energy was, it didn't bring about any energy into the grid. However, we do agree that there's a need for scientific research, there's a need for development of technology, but however, we should make sure that development of technology is not the kind of development of technology that would really waste taxpayers' money, and that development of technology should be the kind of technology that we all agree upon and not just a particular department or a particular group of people agree on, and we feel that citizens have the right to participate in such decision-making processes. And we're much more concerned about also the expenditure by NEXA, and all the figures that are there, I think most of you have got the PowerPoint presentation that we have shared with everyone, and this is very worrying. And this being very worrying, I don't think we want to go that way, especially when we have issues in the country around poverty alleviation, reduction, and the creation of jobs. So this is something that I think we really need to take into consideration. But we are aware that energy is not the only kind of expenditure for country. There's other cross-cutting and linkages on expenditure. But we feel that if we have alternatives, we don't have to waste such money or make decisions that would really not be good for the country. And but the other thing that I think we need to also take into consideration is that with appropriation and also with procurement, there's sometimes, or not really sometimes, corruption also becomes one of the issues that we concerned about. And I think all of us, the AMSL, it's still one of the issues that we know, the large scale of corruption, and we didn't want South Africa to go that route again with procurement issues. We know that if there's improper expenditure through any sort of appropriation and infrastructure projects or what have been indicated in the budget speech this year, this could actually present a burden to current and future generation with unnecessary debt, poor trade-offs, and environmental and social harm. And these are not some of the stuff that we would really want the country to go into. And that's why we made that such strong recommendations. One is, I think the final point is that we'd really want to make sure that there's that democratic imperative, especially when it comes to appropriation of energy. Transparency would be very important, accountability would be very important, and we suggest that because Parliament has got an oversight and has got a responsibility, and that they remain, and the current Parliament and the committee should actually make suggestions to Parliament around how this should be appropriated, taking into consideration our suggestions as Life Africa Johannesburg, so that even in future you are not left with a conscience that says you have not really abdicated your duties very well. Thank you very much.
Before we I've gone through this document. There are issues that you raise in this document. But in your presentation, maybe you did not highlight. I don't know whether you think that they are not important. It's not for me to say how you make your presentation. You raise in the narrative the implications of nuclear generation. I don't know if you want to touch on that in reference to other countries' experience. I don't know if you want to touch on that.
Can I just clarify your question? Do you want, when you refer to nuclear to other countries, or what is happening around appropriation in other countries?
No. I'm talking, now I'm saying your document talks about experiences elsewhere with reference to nuclear. I'm saying, I don't know if you want to touch on those parts for now, or you think that it is sufficient to can engage now.
Okay, let me just make one example about nuclear in other countries. One example would be of Russia, Institute minister around appropriation, and it has been reported that Rosatom, which is a Russian nuclear commission company, has been involved in corruption and cheating. And this has been reported in the media in the past years, or even currently. There's, I think, the Russian energy sector is one of the sectors that changes its where you find that the CEOs are fired because of corruption, the new ones that come in, and that continuous change. And nuclear energy in itself, you know, because it's very secretive, so it makes issues of accountability very difficult. As may be aware, Honourable Chair, that nuclear energy originates more from the military era of the First and the Second World War. And so anything military, we know that there's a lot of secrecy, transparency is not there. And it has got potential of political meddling in the country. We may find ourselves not actually having the kind of democracy that is so much cherished, but having particular individuals removed governing our country, and that is what we wouldn't want. That's just a slight example about Rosatom in Russia. Yeah, I'm not sure if that clarifies you, but I think one you can also seek much more information, or that a colleague can also assist to that.
and also greet everyone who's here. Chair, I've listened with great attention on the presentation that has been given by Atlas Africa, and I think there are a couple of interesting things that have been raised, and I would humbly suggest that before we have questions from members, that we give the Department of Energy an opportunity to just respond virtually to a couple of things. I would do this myself and constrain myself from having to say those things. Rather, it would be helpful if the department can help us, because they are part of the cutting edge in this area of nuclear energy. And even the next star that has been referred to, which again, as an example, was under the auspices of the Department of Energy. In fact, if I can be quite clear, I would be keen to hear and the department's position around the 1.6 billion for
over.
Yeah, on nuclear, if they can just take us through some things as an example, either corroborate or express whatever position. I'm sure members would be happy with that. Then questions will come thereafter.
You know what I would really like to avoid, as I indicated at the beginning, I want this meeting to be our meeting as members. That's the clarity that we need. And unfortunately, with F-Life, that's why I keep on saying to them, speak to this document that you have. There's a lot of information. They quote in terms of the review, the pages, everything is very detailed in this. But somehow, I think unfortunately, they move from the assumption that all of us have read the document. You must never in future, never do that. You're depriving yourselves if you do that. Don't make assumptions for other people. Make your own presentation as if the time you were writing the presentation, unless it was written by someone else, as if you were writing your own, as if it's the time that you were writing, so that the person who is not us, who was not there, can understand what you're saying. Now, unfortunately, you didn't do that sufficiently in the provision that it is here. That would really maybe avoid some of the questions that may be raised by members. So what I was trying to say is that the reason at the beginning I said we don't want Treasury and Energy today, because I don't want engagement between them to say this right or wrong. It's going to take it away now from us, because energy is energy and treasure. I want them to get some other stage outside to tell us where it is. But maybe they can respond to the question you are raising. But I wanted them to prepare a proper presentation to us with the National Treasury, in terms of assisting on the issues that, in fact, when they have, I think Energy is familiar with the document. I don't know, maybe Treasury as well, but where they've done that, I wanted to give them an opportunity at some other time, not now. But they can respond to what you say, Chairperson. I don't know if you want to respond, but please just introduce yourself and the team here.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Katsema Poto. I'm the director in the Department of Energy. Kathy Mapoto. Mapoto is my surname. And I'm joined here by my colleague, Tandiwa Maimani. She's also from the department. Yes, we did receive... Tandiwa Maimani is the Chief Director in the Directorate of Communications in the Department of Energy.
I just want to be clear. What we want to be clear, you are a director responsible bank. They know what you do. You're meeting us for the first time. We're meeting you for the first time. We don't know you. Please, just assist us. Please.
Okay. I'm responsible for nuclear safety, emergency and liability coordination in the Department of Energy. And in the department, we've got a nuclear branch headed by the DGG, and we've got other directorates such as nuclear technology, nuclear safeguards, and so on. So I'm here representing the nuclear sector since EarthLife is actually raising issues of nuclear. I would like to respond to, without having to go into a blow-by-blow account, which is the exercise that we are trying to avoid here. But I would like to just clarify a few points raised by Ms. Makalakala and her colleague. The 1.6 billion allocation that they are referring to, which is for Nexa, is basically not dedicated for a nuclear program, as they would like to allude to. This allocation is based on a three-year allocation, which is divided into portions of about 600 million per annum, which Nexa normally gets every year. As we all are aware, Nexa is actually one of the state-owned entities under the Department of Energy. They are responsible for research and development on issues of nuclear. One of the things that they, it's actually a little known fact that we are a country producing medical isotopes called, rather we are also in the business of medical isotopes that are produced using nuclear techniques. We know, we might have heard of the so-called Safari reactor. So part of this money that is issued to Nexa is to conduct such research and development around the issues of our medical isotope production. Currently, we are one of the number one countries in producing these medical isotopes, which are sold the world over. The IRP process is actually a process that has been open and transparent. We don't understand what is meant by things that are clandestine, that are secretive. Access to information has always been a priority of the government.
But you know, we're coming exactly to what I was trying to avoid. With respect, that's why I said at the beginning, we don't want you to respond to this, what you call it, because we didn't invite you to make a presentation, because we would really love you to make a presentation based on what they are saying. Otherwise, give us where the process started, how come it is now. Now you say no. What you're saying is wrong. They're saying this is wrong, this is not right. It doesn't assist us as members. That's why I'm saying I would want us first to be clear about what they are saying. And then we'll come to yourself, we'll give yourself the opportunity to come to the standing committee. We'll give National Shelter the committee so that we can make an informed decision as a committee. But for now, you're not ready for that.
Sorry, I was just trying to clarify the issues as it was
requested.
Yes, sir.
Okay. No, it's fine.
Chair, I just want clarity, please. In terms of the presentation of EarthLife, they are saying, as far as I understand, I just want to make sure that I understand it correctly. If they haven't got anything against nuclear energy, that's fine. They're quite happy to have nuclear energy. But what they're saying is we cannot afford one, and we haven't made enough provision to actually purchase, because of the current economic situation. But the economic situation may change over years. We don't know. So, my question is then, we may not have allowed enough at this particular point in time, but at some future date, we may have enough money in the country to actually afford But would earthlighting be against nuclear energy as a power supply or a power source? Or would they say, no, it's okay, you can afford it, down, now you can carry on and get nuclear energy?
Thank you, Honourable
Sat.
Honourable
Thank you, Chair. I'm also a little bit confused about the process. I'm not sure. Some of my questions might not be directly relevant, but let me push on ahead anyway and let's see. I think that, what this presentation does bring out is a number of cross-cutting issues, and we need to separate those issues out so that we can then discuss those separately. I think the first issue that Clyde is raising here is that the current funding that has been given to NECSA over the NTEF period, the argument is that some of that is going towards the nuclear fuel cycle, which would be used in the nuclear build program. That's one of the things that we need to then unpack, if that's the case. And the issue there is that if we invest into that and decide not to go the way of the nuclear procurement process, is that money then wasted? And that's, I think, the first issue that we would need to look at. So some of the money that's going to NECSA, obviously for some of its activities, I have problems with the appropriation going to NECSA, but there are other reasons. But this particular one is this going to invest in infrastructure which will be then used in the nuclear build program, and will that money be wasted if we decide not to go that route? That's, I think, one of the first issues that we should unpackage. The second one, which I think is probably one of the most important, is the assumptions underpinning the choice around this nuclear build program. And the question is, how are we going to ascertain as a country, in terms of what the Constitution is saying here, that we need an efficient economic and effective use of resources? How are we going to fully analyze whether this choice is the most effective one and whether it makes the most sense for the country? Now, a number of parties have brought up this concern, and the concern is related to the IOP. The IOP was a transparent process, and I agree with the Department of Energy. The problem is that a number of arguments are put forward that a lot of the assumptions in that IOP are now outdated and need to be checked before we lock ourselves into investment decisions. So the issue for me is, how are we going to go about ascertaining whether those assumptions that underpin that first choice actually still hold? We need to have clarity from the department, and I think as a committee we should be pushing for that before any final decision gets made around that. And then if a decision does get made that yes, it's an efficient use of resources, we want to go the nuclear build way, the real issue then is the actual procurement process. And I know that people don't like bringing up comparisons with the arms deal, but the point is this procurement process will be about 10 times the size of the strategic defense procurement process. Now, we should have learned a lot of lessons in that process, which I think we need to utilize in a way that we go forward on this particular issue. And I think that what this committee should also be giving some guidance on is, how are we going to ensure that a proper transparent process of procurement actually takes place with involvement of everyone, that we are able to root out any potential for fossil corruption, because it is there. Those are the kinds of issues that I think we need to discuss, those three separate points. I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hussain. I think that you really have assisted in terms of filling out what the presentation is trying to say. But also just to say, the reason that I'm being trying to be assisting is because they are not used to, I assume that they are not used to presenting to Parliament how we want the presentation and the department is. You're right, precisely, these are those issues, but I'll come back after the round. Honourable Marshall.
Thank you, Chairperson. As already mentioned, you are more concerned about how the money is being appropriated. And then many issues that come out here, I think we have that the DG, Mr. Maphoto, could not elaborate on some of the issues I think we would get in. Because it was mentioned that we can't carry the burden to the next generation. So what we would like to know is that from what Honorable Song said, the 3% you mentioned, Mahom, if there's a need for nuclear in the future for South Africa, I don't think anybody will be against that one. because everything starts from scratch. We already have this bank, which we think is helping the Western Cape. And if it means it has to go south, we'll have to know all the proper details, which I think you communicate to the department. We are just here concerned about the money. Is it invested in the right place? Should this money not have been used for something and not for this issue? But if it's going to be used for the right thing, this the job of this committee is to look at it and recommend. But there seems to be something that this committee is missing. And then I think we need that, we need to know that. Because your argument that this data is not against nuclear, it's against the outdated information being linked to the current budget. Because if there's any information that doesn't come out, it becomes a problem for us. Because if every information is on the table, then we are happy for as a country to invest in a good project. But let every information that's in the IRP come out, and then we listen to it. And as a committee, we can see what recommendation you can come up. That's what I think we, from appropriation, our information will just be around the same thing. What is outdated? What is overestimation of energy? And then if there's overestimation, really the budget will be lost. And then if it's okay, we ask ourselves, what does F-Life want? Thank you. Thank you, Chair. We still need some information in this committee.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
maybe we just need to find time. That's why I'm saying to them, they didn't present exactly the way they have. And I think they are not questioning the credibility of the department. I think they are basing their information on some of the historical information that is there, whether it's from the budget review of 2012, budget review of 2013, statements made by different ministers, including the Minister of Finance, the Minister of Energy. I think, but they must, what you call it, that's why I said for members to understand, members are not familiar, we're not an energy committee, we're not familiar with what you say, so. So that's why I'm saying, I'm just requesting you to be clearer, to assist us to be clearer. Chair, before they come, I don't know if you want to make a comment.
Yeah, I have a string of questions on my side. And in order not to cut the situation, I would allow the Atlantic Africa to respond. But I just want to just highlight something that makes me uneasy. I think it's important that we don't speak on behalf of the Atlantic Africa, framing up for that. Because as far as I understand, Atlantic Africa is saying 1.6 billion is for nuclear energy. That's why I was triggered, because I chair portfolio calls for energy and all those things. I may not know the department. That's why I triggered that piece. And that one, let everyone come out of this room having that record clarified, at least. Even though I expect that at some stage they will come back and raise it. So I would like to hear anyone think that maybe what they're trying to say is some of that money, you know. They are on record and they've said that, and they must deal with them on the basis of what they've presented, because they've come here and haven't done their homework. You know, I just wanted to have that sorted out. And I'll come with the other questions once they respond.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I think everyone, one thing that we had also stated is that we may not be familiar with some of the process in this committee on presentations, and maybe we may have missed some of the key points, and we welcome that, at least to giving us space to be able to try and clarify some other few questions and also acclimatize ourselves to the appropriations committee processes. One that I think is a record that as FLAF, Africa Johannesburg, as an environmental justice organization, we are not for nuclear energy. We are saying nuclear energy cannot be part of the energy mix in the country. We do have an abundance of alternatives in the country that are not yet fully exploited, and that abundance of alternative energy in the country comes in the form of renewable energy. And we feel that rather than this committee, we feel that that's one of the suggestions that we're making, actually, that this committee suggests or recommends strongly at Parliament that we don't go ahead with the building of the proposed nuclear power stations. One is that we would recommend that this committee ensures that the Parliament promotes renewable energy, and the renewable energy that would be socially owned and controlled best by the people of this country, because that is going to ensure that there's local job creation, at least at the minimum, because those are some of the things that we're looking at. And if we go the nuclear route, we don't believe that there is going to be job creation, and we know the staggering figures that are there around unemployment in this country, because one of the things that we need to do is to make sure that we improve our people's lives, and we make sure that we don't actually introduce harmful technology that is environmental, that would degrade the environment. When it comes to medical isotopes, nuclear metal isotopes, we fully agree that we need that technology, but needing that technology, you don't have to build a nuclear power reactor to have that technology, so we're fully in support of it. And one of the issues that we were raising around an excess budget was that we don't of Nexa budget goes towards a generation of medical isotopes, and because there is no adequate transparency, there's no civil society oversight or citizen oversight around what actually goes there. And even the annual reports are also in summary, as we also try to make a presentation in summary. And maybe they also have an assumption that as citizens we are familiar with what happens at Safari, but we unfortunately are not familiar. And this is the kind of information that we need so that we don't speak across each other, but we speak to each other and have the kind of discussions that would be beneficial towards building the nation. There are concerns also about the economic situation. I think I've answered that we say no to nuclear energy. We say it's not an option. It cannot be part of the energy mix based on the kind of externalized costs related to nuclear energy, in particular when it comes to waste issues and whether the economic situation allows or doesn't allow. We're saying that it's not an option. The other thing also that comes into play is that the integrated resource plan, we say it's the processes have been there, and I think the members that are part of the energy committee are also familiar with some of the concerns that we have raised throughout the processes of the IRT, and even when it was promulgated, I think there have been some sort of subtle acknowledgement that some of the focus are not correct, and this has come from the academics at the University of Cape Town. Energy Resource Center has also made some report and some sort of critique around it, so there is a base that the integrated resource plan, and according to the plan, it's supposed to be reviewed every 2 years, and we haven't had yet had a call around that, so that's based on that, and I think even during the public hearings of the integrated resource plan, we have made it clear that there's a lot of assumptions and also there's a lot of incorrect forecast and costs around the policy itself. And I think this is much more of what maybe the Honorable Njikelana is familiar with and the colleagues from the Department of Energy are familiar with, because there's continuous engagements, and as life we commit and make sure that these are kind of issues that we engage with and also share with also the partner organizations that we have, because we feel that this is one of the crucial issues in the country that we have to engage in. I think I would like to thank Honorable Freeling.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, now that we know that you're against nuclear energy, that's fine. You know, at long, that's out. You know, but now the point is, you come here and you tell us, you know, the costing is wrong. There's something wrong with the costing. That's what you told us. I never got from you that you're against it, but now I know. That's fine. If you're against it, you say we could use other forms of, raise other forms of energy, whether it's wind or waves or sun or whatever the case might be. But then at least I would expect you to come to us and say, you know, if the energy is going to cost you X rand, if you use for the same, if you want to generate the same amount of electricity, you know, use this system and that'll cost you so much. But just to make a bland statement to say that it's going to be too expensive is not acceptable. Because this committee's got to decide whether they advance money or not. And the only thing that remains, as far as I'm concerned, is the pertinent question by Honourable Freyden, is we are appropriating money for nuclear in this budget. Do we take that money away and give it to something else? Or is it dangerous to invest that money? Is it going to buy it in something that we cannot get out of? And that's the question I think which Honourable Freyden put, and that is what we should have a reply on.
Chairman, I apologize for coming late, but I have listened to the response and gone through the presentation. Is this made correctly, please, Chair? That is the question. But we do not want a situation here where people act as a lobby group against a particular source of energy and use appropriation to block that from happening had a way of putting pressure to the other committee or the other department not to do it. I think if the issue is appropriation, let's discuss appropriation and look at what is appropriately appropriated as a proposal. And if we discuss the politics of nuclear, whether we like it or we don't like it, I don't believe that debate belongs here. That is an issue that we can have a meeting with as live and discuss at a separate place, because it is not so much the issue that it is expensive. The expense is used to grow it. So my feeling is that maybe these issues must be separated. The issue of liking and not liking must be removed from the agenda. And then let's see if we don't talk from the issue of liking or not liking. What is it that we're talking about in respect to the budget allocation?
No,
honorable
members, the problem is you also indicate that you arrive late. I think it might be a disadvantage that you arrive late. At the beginning of the meeting, when I introduced the reasons why they are here, I think we did indicate that, look, as a committee of appropriation, we had the time for people to comment on the appropriation. And in terms of commenting, there are no boundaries that we said to people when they comment. Otherwise, we'll advertise people won't come because they won't comment. But if people come here and put their own, what you call they have a right to come and say, look, we as at life, we think that is not good for 1, 2, 3 reasons. What we have done is appropriation, for instance, to invite you who are familiar with these issues. We're not going to take a decision with them now and say you're right or wrong. It's also to invite the department so that we don't come to a wrong decision, because as a committee, Honorable Mashiko indicated that our concern, which is also our concern, is around the utilization of resources. And to say the other issue that they are raising, which Honorable Freyden touched on, it was the cost of the life cycle of this going forward. That is going to have implications moving forward. Whether they like it or not is another issue, but the issue is that we, for us as appropriation, so we can't take a decision, a policy decision, that rests with the committee, with yourselves. So. But in terms of the cost implications, we have a role to play. That's why they come to us. In terms of policy decisions, we'll be by chair of the department. The department will, what the call say. One of the failures, they say, for instance, RIP, what is it called, IRP, was not what you call it transparent. One of the failures, the committee says, it was a transparent process. So that's why we invited all of you to assist us, you know. So, no, one of the I know that, okay, let's give it.
Chair, I thought that you have covered. I think the procedure should be that we're listening to the menu, and with the listening of the presentation, we normally will allow the presenters to leave, and then we will engage whether we agree or not, whatever is to be presented. At the moment, I think we are conflating all lots of issues around this issue. So I would think that if they are done with it, done with the questioning and so on, we would at least have a discussion based on the presentation that was given to us.
Now, I agree with Honorable, and I think that's the way that we had said that it would work. I think our amendments mustn't be concerned that we'll take a decision. No, we don't do it abruptly. In fact, that's precisely why we invited the department to assist us. We're not the best. You wanted to
correspond to the issues that we raised. But one issue that maybe I can raise, I don't know if you want to raise anything now, but one issue that you are raising is, I'm just looking for the page. There are two things that I would want you to comment on. One, in fact, I would really like the department to, when you respond, to take this into account. They are saying, I'm just looking for this page. You'll assist me. They are saying, Mr. Maporto and the team, in 2008, there was a discussion around the nuclear power issues. And that Department of Energy wanted to develop two reactors. And that time, the two reactors were found to be unfinanceable because they were deemed to be expensive. And we couldn't continue with that. Now, there's going to be six reactors. So, is that assumption correct? But have you got information, perhaps, according to that? Yes. Is there information related to that? I don't know. The department, as far as I think, the department will assist that as well. Is the statement that I'm saying correct? You have said that, where do you base, for instance, that...
Okay, I think...
design of the reactors that are being proposed, and also when they have a record of division as to
that the public, we need to know. We don't want to be told tomorrow that a reverent decision has been taken to build this kind of reactor, because we feel that it's going to rise of our Africans and citizens of this country to be part of the decision-making processes. And those are still processes that are lacking. And the estimate as we get that those two reactors may cost something like from 300 million to over a trillion rand to be built. I think we've had engagements with the Energy Portfolio Committee, I think, but on different issues. I think more on the matter of
You're welcome. Now I'm saying, remember, Honourable Member Masulo, if you have had a discussion with the portfolio, if you have raised this matter with the portfolio committee, this matter on nuclear power, not on other issues of energy, you have not had the discussion, you have not engaged it by the portfolio committee on this matter. Is that right?
Direct engagement has been making submissions, oral submissions like this. No, I don't believe we have on nuclear. We have made written submissions on the IOP itself, on the EIA, and on with efforts of the Department of Energy. And this submission on our submission on the appropriation, on the budget appropriations, we submitted to the Department of Energy, the Portfolio Committee on Energy Evo. The same submission that you have, we also gave to, but we have not had oral presentations on nuclear to the Energy Portfolio Committee.
Perhaps you might like to ask to consider, when we consider your submission, just anything you want to add. You're ending up now.
I think the major recommendations we made are very important, and that's what we're bringing in for you to make, when you make your decisions to consider them. But I think that one thing, there's a few that are important, but one is that let's take the practices of other countries when it comes to appropriation. I may not be able to really delve much on, and we know that there's the portals from like other countries like Slovakia, where the public is able to access information on websites as to where the processes, what's happening, who's tendering, and what is the kind of service that the people are going to give. But also, I think what would be important is to allow civil society observers to have access to all relevant procurement documents. We have learned a lot from other previous procurement, in particular the arms deal. And if we could try and avoid some of the mistakes, if we could try and learn a lot from there, I think we would be doing South Africa a big favor. And I think what is important also is to make sure that whatever is being given a go-ahead on appropriation, that should also take into account that those decisions actually don't contribute to also the environmental degradation and social instability in the country. But what would really request to make a suggestion and that be a priority is that there should be massive investment in renewable energy. We know that it works in other countries practically, and where there isn't even the kind of potential renewable energy sources that we have. But however, more on procurement and appropriation would rather have our people, our communities who are struggling out there to be given first preference so that they may be able to have some sort of livelihood out of energy procurement, rather than giving it to so-called independent power producers, who mostly would be companies that come in the country, coming in as entities of foreign direct investment, and at the end of the day, our people not actually gaining independence.
from the kind of abundant potential resources that we have in the country.
Thank you very much.
Concerns raised in the presentation that speaks to cost and the cost, the accuracy thereof. But nothing is arguing that point to a conclusion in terms of the projection of this cost implication that has been presented in the budget. In order for us to be able to say, I think you made a convincing case and therefore we agree with this. That case is not made yet. Maybe it's still going to be made. There are no projections that we see that is presented to make the case or to make the recommendation to convince us in terms of this. Now, I think what the FLAS should have done in coming to make a presentation here is to say, on those days concerned about the fleet nuclear approach, the whole thing about preparations, the issue about long-term implications. They make that case and they say the best way to go, not just the way by ways, in terms of the model that we look into. That case is not made. So consideration of the recommendation must be based on some case that has been made and that has not yet been made in terms of this presentation. I just wanted to ask them, what is the case that we sufficient and accurate estimate cost here that is proposed in terms of the VAT structure on paper? Does such a thing exist? The one thing that you make as a critical issue or critique is a data or outdated data that's based on the estimate of costing. You talk about 2010 and 2013 now in terms of that. Now, that case is not yet developed in a paper for us to see it. Maybe later the department will talk to us in terms of that particular allegation aspect of that particular data issue, if there is something like that. So, Chair, I can go on and on about it, but the point I was making, one central point, is that case is not made to support the conclusion that gives a recommendation not to. And that is the point I want to make to Ethelat in terms of it. Maybe in the closing, they could make that case, or if they don't have a case, they could say, yes, they can say in the second last closing, the conclusion. They can say, we will hold this case, and we don't have it here with us, and therefore that model is somewhere, so we'll forward that to the committee, so that when we conclude this process, we can deliver it around that particular aspect would have been the case. That's the only question I wanted to make, Chair. And sorry that I did read the submission, by the way, but I was listening to a debate, I was listening to a case to be made, but case is not yet made.
No, I agree. We have asked them to conclude. They have concluded. But now they are just listening to comments. I'm taking this as a comment. I asked them over and over to make their case. And, maybe they will do it next time, you know. But, Honorable Lotto.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've read the submission, though I'm late, and I apologize for that. Chairperson, I just want to make five comments, that FLAF must take into consideration and try to work on it so that they should be able to enrich the discussion of this committee and other committees in Parliament. One, I think, which is fundamental, they need to consider the constitution of the Republic of South Africa. The matter of the separation of powers between the executive and the legislature, because the legislative authority of the Republic rests in Parliament, and the executive authority of the Republic rests within Cabinet, led by the President. So to make a point that you want Parliament to be involved in making decisions on key transactions should be analyzed within the context of what I've just said. Because the constitution of the Republic is very clear on the mandate of Parliament and the mandate of the executive. So I think whatever proposal they're making in terms of Parliament making decisions, not being oversight, the two are different. There's a distinct difference between making decisions on transactions, approving the transactions, and playing an oversight role. I think that's the homework that FLIF must take into consideration and work on their documents so that they should be able to reach the decision, I mean the discussions. The second point that I want to make is around the integrated energy plan. Those who are in the portfolio committee on energy will be known, but the department is committed itself that they are meeting the integrated energy plan to cabinet. Now, and I'm not talking next year now, this year, because they are obliged to review every 2 years the integrated resource plan. So, and the integrated resource is going to help all stakeholders to be able to make contributions on the transfer technologies, the technology cost, the operating cost of all various technologies. And I think, which takes me again to the other third point, which you've made and that was made by Professor Everard, and I assume the assertions that you make in your documents were based on Professor Everard's contribution. And the point is, which I have an issue with, is to want to base electricity demand on the current economic situation and going back. And say the past 18 months we have seen a dip in electricity demand, therefore, going forward would advise that certain technologies must be dropped based on the current situation and going back. Whereas the National Development Plan would be talking about a certain trajectory in terms of our economic growth. So it's going to be a contradiction in terms when government is pulling all stops to ensure that there is economic growth in this country, which would then mean increased electricity demand. And then you want to base it on now and going back and say there's a deep electricity demand, therefore, drop certain technology. I find that to be a very unscientific analysis. The third point I would raise is around Nexum. People make, wild statements. That would be not polite. I'm just saying, people are making an informed statement about the amount that's being allocated to Nexum without delving deeper into what is that money going to be used for. There's an assumption that all that money is used for the nuclear rail program, and therefore we need to contest that. Without looking at the mandate and operations of Nexum and understanding them in totality, the issues of development of isotopes, which have nothing to do with the nuclear program. So I think it's important that when people come to Parliament, they should do that argument and assist this committee and any other committee to come to a proper decision. Obviously, as life has taken from the documents that I think you've taken, you know, a clear policy position on Monday to be anti-nuclear. And I think it puts some of us in a difficult position that we argue with people who are clearly anti-nuclear. Whatever you say, the position that they are fixed to is that we are anti-nuclear, and therefore we will not be able to make any whatever critique we come up with is that at the back of the mind, we're just, some of us would think we're dealing with a group that's anti-nuclear, and whatever thing that we say, we still be convinced that nuclear is a no-no. But those are just my comments on that. Thank you, Chairperson, for your indulgence.
Thank you,
Thank you, Chair. Let me just go back to my earlier thematic in terms of the issues that I think we need to deal with, both in terms of the Appropriations Committee and Energy Committee, and hopefully that can point a way forward. There's obviously the immediate issues now of the appropriation to NEXA, which is what this original presentation was based on, the $1.6 billion over the next 3 years to NEXA. Now, I think as some of my colleagues have pointed out, certainly some of that $1.6 billion is not for the new build program. A lot of it is for the medical isotope program, all of that. Now, I mean, I have certain concerns, I think the committee has certain concerns around whether NEXA is a going concern into the future, because what we have seen is these constant 500 million rand appropriations to NEXA over the last 10 years or so. I mean, every year we give $500 million to NEXA, and the issue is whether it is a going concern in the future. Part of that debate is related to what happens with the nuclear build program. So I think one of the conclusions we came to is in fact that if the nuclear build program doesn't go on, will NEXA then continue to be a going concern, or will we have to keep giving giving 500 million every year to this company. So that's just an issue that we need to unpackage. That, I suppose, is what our committee to deal with in the long term. So we also need to give clarity on that particular issue. The other issue, and I think that this is probably where the Energy Committee has to come in as well, is the issue over the IRP. Now, we're not going to get into debate around who's pro-nuclear and who's anti-nuclear. The real issue that has been brought up, it was brought up through the National Development Plan, it has been brought up in terms of the fact that when the IRP was issued, they said that they would review it every 2 years. The two-year period is up now. It has to be reviewed this year. There has been confusing signals coming from the department as to whether that will in fact be reviewed before a decision gets made on nuclear. And I think what we as the Energy Committee will have to do is sit down and work out how can we possibly have public hearings around the IRP in terms of playing our oversight role to ensure that this review in fact takes place. And that the concerns that have been expressed by the public, by Climate Africa, by the Energy Research Centre, by the NEP, how do we bring those into the public domain and have a proper debate on these issues so that we can have a way forward in terms of making sure that we're making the best investment decisions for South Africa. So that's into the future, and I think that is something we have to do this year, and that's as an Energy Committee. But as an Appropriations Committee, what I think you also need to look forward to in terms of this particular issue is around procurement processes that will eventually occur if we decide to go the nuclear route. And I think that this is something which you really need to do some research into as to how we best design this. Now, I know that this is happening at a cabinet level, but I really think that Parliament needs to be ahead of the curve here in terms of putting down guidelines as to how this procurement process should work so that there aren't the kinds of question marks that are raised over, for instance, the arms deal. How do we ensure this is going to be a procurement that is close to 400 billion to 1 trillion rand? This committee should be seized with ensuring that that process is as clean as possible, is as tight as possible, and I think that that's something that you need to look to into the future if that decision is made that we are going to go the nuclear route. And so those are, I think, the three main issues that we need to then deal with and be seized with. Some for the Appropriations Committee, some for the Energy Committee.
I'm glad that I'm explaining that you're making that distinction, that some really belong to you. As we indicated earlier, that policy matters, we have nothing to do with them because we assume that everything is agreed upon there. So we can't ask you, is NETA right? Is this right? All that we're looking at is the expense. And I think that the presentation was saying that was based on cost. That is where we play a role. That's why Honorable Pramatwagan was clarifying. So the question now for the, it is next, is RP or what?
We're closing our ears on that. Chairperson? Nah, sorry.
You'll come. No one was over here, there's no one over here.
Out of numbers.
I don't want to start because I think we should just sit and discuss this and get length on our own. We're a parliament and we've got rules that guide us on how to do things. And I trust Chair will just tighten on that. You see, I have questions, but I don't know whether they're at the end of this stage time, given the time as well. And the dilemma I find myself in what has been raised for is that there was a specific reason for us to come here and listen to everything and it was needed. But unfortunately, amongst the things that have been raised, that's where I've been into a little bit of a confusion because when some of the inputs are being made by asking that look at renewable energy as an alternative. And then I started asking myself, what exactly was the point of coming here? Was it to say we challenge the approbation, we challenge the cost, the procurement processes, or we challenge nuclear energy versus renewable energy? What are we here for exactly? But I've been listening very, very carefully, and most of you all know I'm not averse to debate. I'm not averse to engagement, but you must be proper, focused, and structured. Hence, I'm just appealing maybe, you know,
for
the situation gets untenable, maybe we should, you know, just on our own to see how we to take this. Of course, as a colleague, I don't want to insist for on saying that, because chair is very appropriate that should be focusing on questions. Yes, we need to throw ourselves deep into this, apply our minds, because we're handling an initiative that's massive in terms of resources, 1 trillion.
Yes.
So definitely, I hope that South Africa, Johannesburg, and everyone else, when we raise those things, it's not technical to try and delete or to try and get around it. It's because we would like to ensure that, in the eyes of the public, we give a very clear indication that we're doing our best to apply our minds on this. But at the same time, no. It must be clear exactly what are we here for. Because as it is now, the more we're rolling out, the more I begin to really get unclear as what we're here for. Is it to say, Appropriations Committee, please take care of these areas when you consider the request by the Department of Energy to allocate funds on nuclear energy? Or is it to say, Appropriations Committee, no, instead of even taking money and putting it here, look at renewable energy? Thank you.
Hello, honourable members. Our appropriation, no, sometimes, I normally make a joke that says, sometimes when the chairperson makes a ruling, we must follow. It assists us sometimes. I said to Earth Life Africa, Johannesburg, make close your case. Wind up, they wind it up. I said then, let's allow them to go and engage amongst ourselves as a committee. And for us, for appropriations, we can get clarities from the department. And I think that some of the clarities that the team might have wanted to give them already been given, I suspect. In most cases, they might want to end. Because I don't know how to engage about one another, try to say who's right or wrong. I think Rod Mashiko and Rod Ramatlagana, they explained what is the responsibility of this committee. And that responsibility will not share it as well as a committee. There's a project.
What is the price of this project? What is the cost of this project?
That is our responsibility. Ourselves and finance committee, actually, as I was reading this, and as they were preparing, you know, we're discussing something that I thought that we would discuss after. As I was reading this document, and even their presentation is saying the NPPPS, in other words, is dealing. In South Africa, we have a very complicated finance, what do you call it, system. Honorable Lord, a former member of finance. We have a process of the fiscal, what you call it, what do you call it? Fiscal framework. And under that process of the fiscal framework, you say you want more, you want less. What is that process? It's done. As now, the fiscal framework was passed a long time ago, I think in March. Once it is passed, now the issues no longer, we can't entertain the question of saying, is this amount correct or what? There's been, if you want to raise that question, you raise it under the fiscal framework with the Standing Committee on Appropriation. I mean, on finance. And then, they also make their public advertise for public participation, people participate. They make a finding on that. A parliament passes that. The parliament says, this is the cake that is going to carry this country now for the men. So it's not our issue. But as the Standing Committee on Appropriation, as it has been explained that we advertise and people come and say, no, we think that this cost is too much or what. Then say it's fine, you go, you have paid, you
will take a decision, they will know about the decision that will take once we take,
informed by people who have an understanding of this, because we don't always have we don't claim to have an understanding of things we don't understand. We will not do that, Honorable Minister, under any circumstances. So please, let's relax about as far as that is concerned. Clear?
At life, Johannesburg, I think that you have made your point. Thank you very much for making your point. Honorable Chair, I think that I hope that that part is clarified. We will not take a responsibility that doesn't belong to us. Let's allow them as life to go. And thank you very much for making the submission. Put your the documents, the members will pick them out as they go. Thank you very much.
Supported by the Eskom to
for 20,000 megawatts of energy over a period of 20 years until 2025. And this was going to consist of the PBMR and the pressurized water reactors in the mix. However, there was no mandate given to ESCOM to actually deal with the fleet issues. And this created a problem as ESCOM was going to rely on its balance sheet, which was not adequate to deal with the fleet issues, which is why this procurement process had to be halted. And now we went back to the drawing board to include government investing as a lead. And this is where we are currently. We are drawing lessons from that program, which was called the Nuclear One project. And as we are implementing our procurement plan, we are also considering the lessons learned from such a thing, such a Nuclear One program.
Two reactors were called Nuclear One. When we discuss the two reactors, whatever we read about Nuclear One has to do with these two reactors. Or what are you saying? Because you mentioned them in one sentence.
In fact, just to add on that point, I would like you to help us, Chairperson. We are really ignorant. We don't want to discuss, have a discussion that is not relevant. And this is what they call the issue that we are reading is about, they say the cost of two reactors and the six reactors. The two reactors were found to be very expensive. The government abandoned it. Now we are building six reactors. But the issue that we want to come, or we're asking is, are they related to this, what you call the issue that we are discussing of nuclear power? Because I hear you mentioning PBMR, and I don't want, if it is related to PBMR, you just tell us a closed case, we don't want to, what you call,
we ignorant as this committee of appropriation as far as those things are concerned. So.
Thank you, Jack, once again. I think the issues are very much facetted. The issue of two reactors is actually just sensationalizing. Basically here, we're talking about 20,000 megawatts, which is comprised of a number of reactors. And in that plan, the PBMR was also included. So I would like to say that matter has been passed because the Nuclear One program did not continue. Now we are starting on with a different phase altogether. In the coming phase, it is very clear in the integrated resource plan that the department will go the 9.6 gigawatts of energy in the next 20 years. The first one starting in 2023. These 9.6 gigawatts will be subdivided into units of thousands of megawatts. Perhaps maybe starting with 4,000 and so on, building. So basically we'll start with two reactors in 2023 to build up two. 9.6 gigawatts. And that is what the integrated resource plan says. What was the other issue raised? The issue of cost. Earlier on, through the National Nuclear Executive Coordination Committee, that is NEC at the ministerial level, we presented to them in the first meeting. And then they said to us, we need to go back and look at the issue of cost. And now we're taking back to the drawing board to do the full cost analysis of what it may cost us to actually come up with nuclear reactors. It's also, we also need to also consider the fact that the cost issue is not only based on the capital cost. We also need to look at the levelized cost, which is for the pool life cycle of the plants. The nuclear plants are normally having a lifespan of about 40 to 60 years. And that actually helps alleviate on the issue of how it actually sort of alleviates the capital cost going forward. So the issue about Earthlife and other people like Greenpeace, they look, it's more like a pin and pendulum story. They look at the issue of cost. If they think they're being in terms of arguments, they go back to the issue of safety and they shrink like started. So that type of thing is just really maintaining position in terms of what they stand for. We've heard that they stand for position against nuclear, and this is not what we should be discussing in this forum. In this forum, what we should be discussing is the appropriation to NEXA, which is 1.6 billion, that they are alluding to, a correct one or not. And I'm saying their truth is misrepresented because the appropriation has nothing to do with the new nuclear build program. It is a normal annual appropriation that is given to NEXA to carry out its research and development mandate, as is said to speak on the entity under the Department of Energy.
No, this is the prof. But prof, we just want to correct something with energy over and over. Energy, do your work. We will do our work as well. You can't say this has nothing to do with us because you combine us on the NEXA because these things are related. You said it. These things are related, the NEXA and the nuclear power. The relationship about this, because NEXA, there's no cause about NEXA setting up infrastructure and water administrative, but the costs are in the nuclear power. So, please, let's not wear too little thinkers. Let's just try to open this.
I just want to further clarify on that. The point I'm making here is the 2013 appropriation that's only about.
Yeah.
NEXA is not yet on board when it comes to the new nuclear build program. However, it is in the plan going forward. As soon as a decision is made and then we're going forward, then we'll have allocations set aside for programs at NEXA dedicated to the new nuclear build program. At the moment, there's no program at NEXA that is dedicated to nuclear. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you, sir. I'm not sure that I'm not trying to simplify. I wanted to confirm myself. Yeah. So in this big document, I just want to confine myself to page 10 of their recommendation. Yes. So that if you look at their recommendation, which is the main recommendation, which relates to this year and the appropriation, to me, I think it simplifies issues. Because if you look at their recommendation, basically, it is solely based on 1.6 and 200. And they're saying don't do it. And they're saying that based on wrong data. And if we look at that in concern ourselves, what is that this provision that is supposed to be doing? I think we can close from the cohort. Otherwise we are moving circles, putting things that are not relevant here.
Microphone,
Jennifer. The difference between nuclear and nuclear builds. Because you are not able to differentiate here. When he speaks to nuclear builds, and saying this budget has nothing to do with nuclear builds, you get worried because you know next that we're dealing with nuclear. Now, how can he say it has nothing to do with nuclear, but it's actually working on nuclear? Nuclear is nuclear, it's bigger. Nuclear build is specific. It means the process of building that infrastructure of nuclear. So when he is right to make reference to the word build in nuclear, as opposed to this allocation, that this allocation is not related to that process. Thanks.
I have been
that's typical of the Department of Health and the Portfolio Committee for Energy.
Right, interesting. We want to conclude. We think that we have understood. We think we have understood what we didn't understand. You were sitting us. But it's fine. We just want to make, let us make a quick word call this summer. Can I start with you, Honorable President, Honorable Moloto, Honorable Fulo, you close it. Just help us, Honorable Member, to close now.
Chair, I'll just stick to the immediate issue then of what was brought to this committee, this Presidential Committee, around the $1.6 billion to NICSA over the next 3 years. My point, Irani, I mean, I think it's a bit fallacious to say that none of that budget will be used for the nuclear build program. In some ways it will, because they invested in the nuclear skills capacity, they're also looking at the nuclear fuel cycle, but clearly, you know, it's with an anticipation that the nuclear build program is going to go ahead. It's supposed to. So the issue, though, is the bigger issue we will have to tackle as Energy Committee is, do we want the nuclear build program to go ahead? Do we think it's affordable? Does the country need it? Is that, and that's a bigger policy issue we're going to have to deal with. I think that for the purposes of this particular appropriation, I don't think there's a problem with giving next to the money now. I mean, I have other problems next to getting the $500 million every year, but I think at this point in time, I think this appropriation would be okay. But if a decision gets taken, policy decision gets taken not to pursue the nuclear build program, then I think this appropriations committee would have to question the remaining 2 years of giving extra $500 million every year. Because then I think it seriously questions NICSA as a going concern if we then don't proceed with the nuclear build program. So, I mean, that would be my advice to this appropriations committee.
No, I think Honorable Hedin to a certain extent covered me. But what I would have preferred that we look at is for the presenter from NESA to take us through what is this $1.6 billion all about. Because I think we keep on talking cycles without going to the amounts. So somebody, and I think that's where the appropriations committee is the role of the appropriations committee, to start to understand in detail is this thing in line with government, is it in line with government mandate and priorities? And if not, then it's the role of the appropriation committee to then decide this is not in line with government priorities and mandate, and therefore we are going to reallocate the money. I'll use another example. If, for instance, the Department of Correctional Service, which happened, I hope that matter was resolved some time ago, they used to have a prison that they were building in Northern Cape, you know, in Kimber. Yes. And there were continuous rollovers and whatever, people are not making progress on that. For instance, if they have to appear before today and they say, no, we still need this money, and for the past 4 years they have not been doing it, you can come to a conclusion and say, we don't think it's worthwhile to still continue to give these people money. We want for this current financial year, we want that money from correctional service to go and deal with sanitation progress in the country. Because we believe it's a worthwhile investment in that area, because these people don't want to spend that money. You know, they have produced a record of not spending that money. I'm just using it as an example. So I would have assumed the discussion that we would be having is for NICSA to go through and say, what is this $1.6 billion about? And then the operation could come to a decision. Is this in line with government mandate and priorities? And if not, then it would say, we don't think we should be talking about $1.6 billion. Then the $1.6 billion should be allocated to other priorities of government. I think that's, for me, that's where. But we have really gone into that discussion of what is this $1.6 billion about.
Comrade Mpula, I'll come to you. Honorable Ramachandran says, these people haven't made their case. Now, all what we're talking about, we're really making a case for them when they have not made the case. Now, I don't know if that's what you want to do. They asked to submit to us. Now, people don't make a case. It's like you're going to a lady, you don't tell her what you want to tell her. You assume that she must understand what you're thinking. So, now, she says, okay, bye-bye, bye-bye, you go back, and you assume that we're there.
I end with that.
So, it doesn't work. So, all I'm trying to say is that I don't know what we're discussing. Honorable Ramadan, I think he closed it. He said, this people haven't made their case. To me, they have submissions that make sense. I wanted really to hear them. They didn't speak to the submission I ask them over and over. The chairperson didn't chastise me.
Yes. He says, don't speak of them. But he didn't say it in so many words. He was very polite with me, even the way he put it. But I understood what he was saying.
They could not put the case. Yes. I think their submission, it helped a lot. But the issue is that maybe they put the horse before the cart, you know, because their focus is more on the nuclear power than on the 1.6 billion to NEPSA, the point that you raised. I think that is different. So we would like to take this point any further now. Because, I mean, it has made a case. Now, are we trying to replace the Republic? We are Parliament to be receiving the submission. We look at the submission, that's why we're discussing. If we're not hit with the submission, well, the submission doesn't help us, then we're going ahead. That's what I thought that
we would do. Come, I'll come to you, all of the follow and then all of the
Yeah,
we shouldn't just say because we are all in parliament here.
we must agree with what you are doing, because our job is to do oversight on what says, what resources, where resources go, because this is their money. They're also representing the public, and this is public funding. And is it used the proper way? Because we can't just sit here and satisfy energy and agree with the Department of Energy because we are with them every day. We should also be looking at our own mandate. Is this money properly allocated? Where is this 1.6? If you say build, you also talk about the 300 million that has to be used at an initial stage, at the beginning stage. Is it also still in the shelf, or is it not at the beginning stage that is being referred to here? And it is already in the beginning stage. We also need the analysis of that money. Is this beginning stage that needs that amount of money? So we should just be understanding no one is intimidating the other. We learn a lot from, and we know the department is with you, the portfolio committee is with you every day with their mandate. And unfortunately, we are also here with our mandate. We are both from right as committees of parliament, but our mandates come from different angles, and we know you are always with them. You greet each other every day, but we've never met you as energy. So we've never greeted you every day. We might not understand what they are saying. Thank you.
Now, other members, I'm sure that you've had a chairperson.
Yeah.
Chair.
Oh. If someone is pushing for rural development, I really would be
curious. Sorry, Chair. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Ndicela nje utshe ayivale ngoba kwenzela uba azobekuzandinceda. The I was whipped to go to a debate earlier on, so I had to leave here in a rush because, you know, when the whip whip you, you've got to leave in a rush. so I had to rush for that. I did say that the airline did not make the case for us to do the adjustment they were talking about. And I did leave the question that there was something that they mentioned that was a bit troubling about the outdated data that has been used. And that is a matter that department would perhaps have to deal with that and clarify that aspect. Because if there is if that allegation is correct, it then would then mean that there will be the inflation as we go on will catch up with us in terms of the cost over if the data is wrong. I don't know, but they mentioned they made that point. Maybe that can be clarified. But the rest of the presentation also struggled around the policy direction, which is not what we deal with as this committee. The other portfolio committee deal with that particular detail in terms of the direction of policy and where the policy takes us to. So I did want to ask that maybe if it's not now, at some point we need to understand some of these allegations that of the data and the accuracy and which involve the money calculations. That's all I wanted to say, but the rest, I think, is a process issue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to agree with I think it was Prof was saying, what they couldn't come up with, but their documents are doing something different. That's quite correct, because here, the 1.6 billion, they say here, it's for nuclear fuel capabilities, increased nuclear skills, nuclear rollout, and which they spend at next level. That's what they couldn't come up with. That's the only problem. But otherwise, their documents are clear. Yes. Thank you, Chair.
greatest problems, Chair, is that whilst you may see the issue quite clearly, the thing is to a public representative. So we tend to be sensitive to respond in rather mechanical and artificial way, just say, no, we lost the case, 1-2. Because this sensitivity that out there, people are watching and listening. But one of the reasons why I really was stammering, itching to ask other things is that politically, I take issue with NGOs that claim to be representing citizens. I know it's a side issue, but I feel it must go on record because I'm a public representative. I come from a political organization that worked hard to represent itself to people, and people voted for me to be here. You know, I think there must be put on record. For someone to repeatedly make a reference to represent citizens is quite a major term. Because even the political organization that I come from can never claim to be representing all the citizens of this country. It does represent a certain portion, a substantial majority in any case, as evidence is there. That's fine. But the thing is, we are fully sensitive, you know, Amashekho, which is why I take your point, because we could have closed about an hour ago, but we want to satisfy ourselves first, even before we satisfy the populace or the citizenship out there. I think that's the basis. Having said that, then, let us come through you, Chair, is that there's a certain dilemma that's taking place in the debate around energy planning. I use the general term energy planning. Right now, in the rolling out of the work of the Department of Energy, all the other things which are not necessarily addressed in the past, I'm very, very frank and upfront on that, what finished planning, articulated very clear in the policy and the legislation that there should be an integrated energy plan. Integrated energy plan. But unfortunately, because of the pressure that's all known, you know, the load shedding in 2008 and other things, there had to be a shift to look at a shorter term tool, planning pool, to address that crunch in electricity demand in particular. Hence, it brought to bear the integrated resource plan. At that stage, not just the Department of Energy, but the government has quite clear that this is not the ultimate tool for energy planning. Although it's integrated, encapsulated now as IRP, it's a subset of the gigawatt, which is integrated energy plan. But because of its complexity and being intricate, you are sort of put aside, or some people were working quiet on it behind closed doors. Everybody rushed and concluded IRP 2010, as it's called, Integrated Resource Plan 2010. The commitment on that was that in the next 10 years, this is how we're going to, 20 years, sorry, this is how we're going to roll out electricity, and going to be on the basis strategically, adjusting broad of energy mix, including this nuclear energy. However, every 2 years, we will sit down as government, overseen by parliament, and review whether we're still on track. Because the economy grows, population grows. Right? Now, even the Portfolio Committee for Energy has been alert that it has been in grown because it has been a gamalagi. IRP 2010. We kept on chasing the department even from last year. And it came clearly this year. We would know. We are on the verge of concluding and finalizing the integrated energy plan, the Makulu part, which has long been awaited. So we plead that we would like to bring the integrated energy plan into the fore, so that a revised integrated resource plan is based on the integrated energy plan. You see? But we asked, being that the case, are you sure we can live with the current arrangements? They are short. Now, this is where there is a difference of strategy. I'm over and over members. We don't want to concur on that. Some are saying that no, that's not the best way to approach. You know, please rush the IRP 2010 right now.
But some of us think, as we see things are rolling out, we are based on our ability. Now, this is where the issue of audited documents and all sorts of things come out. I leave it there because I was just explaining and he's not giving any judgment on it. As a closure, my proposal is that, Chair, having been prompted particularly by Association being that, let the standing committee on appropriation certify that the 1.6 billion is based on policy and the current program. The documents are there. You know, I mean, 90 pages just across the small road. Each Department of Energy will give you all the necessary documents if you want to satisfy yourself. But Chair of the committee, we've gone through that because, as you know, either during September, October when it gets reports or during this time when it gets depends on the budget. Please believe it's up to you. It would be appropriate that you are satisfied independently from us in any case. The other area I was proposing, given that, as I said earlier, the agenda of nuclear energy is very, very, sensitive, strategic, profound and everything. What about some kind of a workshop in the future? So that there is some better understanding of things that are entailed in it. I can guess, and almost 99% guess, that this is not the last time something of this nature is presented to this standing committee. It may come back in a different way. But now, are we going to once again relate to it from a position of this level of knowledge that you have? And my answer is no. That's where my proposal is. Try to make sure that we are creative enough to get some better understanding on it. We can work out the modalities thereafter. I'm also triggered by what the prophet had brought to our attention in page 10, because it doesn't, page 10 proposal doesn't say that don't approve the 1.6 billion only today. Also, do not approve the long-term nuclear-related commitment. Can you see? That's a bigger one now, Associate. Not only the 1.6 billion, but even the long-term nuclear commitment, which is the whole new nuclear build program, until the IRB has been revised. That's why I was explaining this to you, Chair, at the end of the program. But then you can see, which is, there's no conclusion. I mean, we have no consensus, let me say, on IRP. So rather than influencing ourselves from some of us, what opposition is, just get your shopping, you will get the department, your NEXAS, if you need your NEXAS, and any other appropriate institute to give the facts as they are, have a clear understanding about trends, and then in future, whatever comes your way, you will be in a better position of understanding. God bless.
No, you know, we have, yesterday in the House there was a fight about the convention. We have our own convention that I don't want to break. We have already broken it because we normally finish at 11:30 on Fridays to allow people to travel so that the meeting doesn't become smaller and smaller. And now it's going to 12:00. I really don't have to have a meeting of two people by the time we finish. But let's take it from what the chairperson is saying, that maybe for us, it means that we would need to be empowered so that in future, if this kind of situations come, then we are informed. But I wanted to again, to emphasize the point that Honorable Mashiko raises, that the, as this particular committee, really, or member of the department, if they have the right to raise issues that are related to cost and not heavily. They have the right to do that. And I know you made a very, what you call, a profound statement to me. These people there, it's a pity that they couldn't present, you know. They made a good, what you call, for themselves. For instance, they are sent to this court.
terms of their own presentation, I think it's on the back page. Is it on the front page? Is it the front? Yeah, it's the front. There's a constitution, it's talking about public administration, but the constitution, section 195, talks about enjoins that the public administration to use resources efficiently, economically, and effectively. It is there, I mean, that's the reason why they came to us. If they believe that this allocation does not conform to that, they had a right to come to us. But that right, then it means that another person may have another view on whether the Honorable Muhammad talked about making a case, whether the case that the person makes is sufficient enough for you to find that surely this has not been what you call a complied with. So, for me, I hear a lot of members are saying, no, let's get a copy of the Nexa and what. But I thought that ours is a principle. If at the level of the principles has been agreed that we have Nexa, we'll allocate this and people have satisfied that what Nexa is doing would be correct. And I'm not sure if that's why the people were really raising the issue of Nexa. I think their debate to me, if you go through all this and their figure document, it's really focused. That's why I was saying they seem to be taking the horse before the cart. It's more on what you call the ultimate objective of what Nexa wants to achieve. They're not saying that don't give Nexa. They are saying Nexa wants to build the nuclear power. So I think that maybe what we could rule, in fact, I think that they themselves, they've written something here that sometimes seems to be, I don't know whether it's not contradicting what they are saying, but something that shows that no, there is no decision. I was under the impression that there was a decision. They say, somewhere they say, in fact, Nelisiwe Mankubane recently told the Parliamentary Committee on Energy that an RP revision would not be done before the nuclear decision was made. That was what we're talking about. There's no decision here. We spend all the money. There's no decision. Sorry? It's an RP. Yeah. So, I think that one of the members, Mr. Makoto, are proposing that we get the how this money is going to be spent. Would like to do that as a committee. I don't think that we need the submission from Nexa. We need that presentation of how this money is going to be used. Of all that, what you call I think that we would be needed for now. But I think that Chairperson, the exercise was and for us, I think that we really appreciate that committee came and came in numbers, so you have numbers, but that the department came. Because if you hadn't come, we could take decisions based on what FLIFE or the submission is saying. We sometimes may not necessarily be accurate. And just to say, please, honorable members, I think that the chairperson has also emphasized the point that the public has a right to come to us for anything. So they have that right to come to us and present. It is their right. And the Honorable was made over and over. They have a right to come to us. But I think the key issue is whether, as a committee, we are convinced by what they are presenting to us. I think that is the decision, whether it's convincing or not convincing. So let's not chastise them
departments, this was all the expertise. So the NGOs like this, they help us with giving information to assisting us that we use them to do that so that we can engage and those kinds of things. So, Honourable Members, Chairperson, would really like to thank you for coming and assisting us. We will await that presentation. Those documents from Nexa. And when can we get them? The person that are just across the road.
We'll try and compile something for you.
No, I don't want you to try.
Today.
No, at least Tuesday, if you
okay.
Try. Yes.
Okay. Maybe Tuesday is more of now.
I like the circumstances now.
Now, Chair, let's just be generous and give them the chance. Maybe, you know, the process is there. Somebody must sign off and what's right. And say, on Tuesday, we want it.
But, Darren, what's happening on Tuesday? Well, what is the date, right? Yeah. What rural development and conquer?
Okay, one of the members, also of appropriation. One of the two of us. Today was the last actually EPC in terms of development. The next one will be vote one and vote two, with vote two coming on which date?
But I think around the 10th or so, somewhere there. Yeah, not as the GD is on the 12th. We're finishing now, Honorable Khalil. We finished that just finished. Yeah.
So, that it means that we. Please, let's just discuss this when we have appropriation on issues.
But the point that I wanted to raise is that now, we're
finishing now.
The point now that I wanted to raise was around NYDA, but let's talk about it on Tuesday.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member, Chairperson.
And the department. Sure.
Going for the recording.